Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Julian Reed, a corporate communications and public affairs counselor based in Texas. He served as counselor to John B. Connally's successful campaign for governor of Texas in 1962 and as Governor Connally's representative to the national media for President Kennedy's visit to Texas in November of 1963, 50 years ago. He delivered the first eyewitness count of President John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas, and his new book is JFK's Final Hours in Texas, An Eyewitness Remembers the Tragedy and Its Aftermath. Welcome to Background Briefing, Julian Reed.
Thank you, and happy to be with you.
And obviously, 50 years later, the wounds are still fresh, I think, in the minds and hearts of many Americans. I imagine you yourself, you were right there as Governor Connally's aide. Of course, it's worth reminding our audience that Governor Connally was gravely wounded along with President Kennedy, who was, of course, killed. So let's start with your role as Governor Connally's representative to the national media for President Kennedy's visit to Texas in November of 1963.
Be happy to. I had done, as you mentioned, I had done his campaign work for him. I was his spokesman to the national press. He, of course, was the host for this trip for Texas. And as such, naturally, I was involved in representing him to the media. We had a charter plane load of newsmen who came down from Washington. Virtually all of the Washington Press Corps came down on a chartered Pan Am plane. And I, of course, was his representative to welcome them and to assist them, you know, any way I could. That was my role. And so that was how I happened to be in the motorcade on the White House press bus itself.
And the White House press bus was how far back in the motorcade from the president's limousine?
We were in about the seventh or eighth vehicle, maybe not more than maybe 200 yards behind the limousine. We had I happened to be sitting in the front right seat of the bus. Old buses in those days had that right front seat was flat against the wall, you know, parallel to the wall. And so I was sitting there across from the driver, so I had just a natural view on the limousine from that point in the bus. So I could watch it ahead, and I saw the limousine turn the corner to start to roll down past the school book depository building where you shot, of course. So I happened to have an eyewitness of that occurrence, and of course I heard the shots, you know, pop, 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 and all of a sudden, what had been a wonderful day with people hanging out of skyscrapers, throwing confetti to the president, all the way down through the central part of Dallas, all of a sudden turns into a scene of horror. Because we saw immediately the limousine almost come to a halt momentarily and then lurch away forward and disappeared beneath the underpass. So we didn't know exactly what had happened, but at the same time, as we rolled down past the spot where he had been shot, we saw people on either side of the street scurrying around in confusion. Parents were throwing their children down on the grass to protect them. Motorcyclists were climbing up the grassy knoll next to the street. So we knew something had happened. Something terrible must have happened. So we didn't know for sure what that time, because this was before the age of cell phones. So we didn't have that communication back in 1963. So we had to decide what to do with the bus. And although we did not know where the limousine had gone, we thought the best thing to do was to go to where we were supposed to go from there. And that was to the Trademark, a very big exhibition hall in downtown, right at the edge of downtown Dallas, where there were 2,500 to 3,000 people waiting for him to arrive for the lunch. So we took the bus there. The newsmen, of course, jumped out. They still had not had any word of what happened and ran for the payphones on the walls that were there in those days to call and to learn what they could about what had occurred. And I rushed in and up to the podium of the lunch itself, because Eric Johnson, gentleman, leader of Dallas, who later became mayor of Dallas. He was drafted to be mayor of Dallas after the tragedy. He was up on the podium, up above me, you know, just waiting for the president to arrive. And I rushed up to him and I said, "Mr. Johnson, we think something terrible has happened to the president and Governor Connally. We're not sure, but we think perhaps they've been shot." And he was up above me, as I said, on the podium. He just stared down at me in disbelief, just in shock. I couldn't believe what he heard. And he said, "Pause." He said, "Well, I think we'll wait a few minutes." And then I rushed out. I rushed out because I wanted to go find Governor Connally and Ms. Connally. And I happened to have the good fortune to run outside the building and immediately ran into a friend from Fort Worth, nearby Fort Worth. And she took me to Parkland Hospital very quickly. And Parkland Hospital was only about a mile or a mile and a half away from it. And we got there, and I jumped out of the car and ran to the hospital and walked in, if you can believe this, walked in an end door of the hospital, open, nobody there, no guard, no security at all. Just walked in that door and immediately found the nurse and asked her, "Please take me to Ms. Connally." And she did so. And I found Mrs. Connally in a dark corridor right outside trauma room number one, number two, trauma room number two. And standing across from her in front of trauma room number one was Mrs. Kennedy. All alone, not a soul with either of the women. Someone had placed two straight chairs outside those two trauma rooms, and there were two women, all alone, no one speaking a word, each waiting for the fate of their husbands to be determined inside those rooms.
And, of course, we know what the fate for Jackie Kennedy was, and it wasn't quite so bad, obviously, for Nellie Connally. Let me again remind the audience that I'm speaking with Julian Reed, a corporate communications and public affairs counselor based in Texas. He served as counselor to John Connally's successful campaign for governor of Texas in 1962 and as Governor Connally's representative to the national media for President Kennedy's visit to Texas in November of 1963. He delivered the first eyewitness account of President John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963, 50 years ago, and his new book is JFK's Final Hours in Texas. An eyewitness remembers the tragedy and its aftermath. Now, you actually, from what you just told us, Julian Reed, it sounds like you actually witnessed the actual shooting of the president. You said you were watching, you heard the shots. Did you actually see?
I saw, of course, I couldn't actually see. I did not see. As I said, we were about 200 yards behind them. I heard the shots. I heard, absolutely heard the shots. And I saw immediately the limousine slow and then dart away. So I witnessed it from that distance. Obviously, I couldn't see the exact effect on him, you know, on the close-ups that are on the Zapruder film. You know, I didn't see that exactly. But I certainly saw what happened on that street right beneath that window, yes.
And you started out as a cub reporter with Scripps Howard's Fort Worth Press at the age of 18. And then you, as we mentioned earlier, you worked for Governor Connally's successful campaign and then became his press representative, or his representative to the national media. So what happened after you're standing there in the hospital corridor? There's nobody around except Jackie Kennedy waiting outside trauma room number one, where the president's body's inside, and Nellie Connally waiting outside trauma room number two, where her husband, Governor Connally, was being treated for gunshot wounds.
I immediately, of course, went up to Ms. Connally. She, of course, was very glad to see me, glad to see anybody. And I knew that she was under great stress, but she was very calm. And I knew that the press would be there in a moment. You know, we left them at the Trade Center, but I knew they would find their way there very quickly. So I knew I had to learn what had happened. I knew that I had to find out what took place from Governor Connally's standpoint. I knew that perhaps the press gentleman for the president would speak for him, but I wanted to speak for the governor, Ms. Connally. So she quickly told me very calmly what had happened, and we made a little sketch on just a piece of paper of how they were seated in the limousine. Because obviously nobody knew all that at that point. So I got that information from her. I excused myself, explained to her that I needed to go do that, to talk to the newsmen. And then I found Malcolm Kilduff, who was the acting press secretary for the White House. I found him very quickly, And he and I set up a little temporary press room. It wasn't really a room, just a table, sort of, in front of a blackboard in a nurse's training room down the next level down. And after about 25 to 30 minutes, Malcolm Kilduff announced to the press, they was all gathered around, of course, wondering what had happened, announced to the press that the president was dead. There's a photograph of that, a very famous photograph. It happens to be in my book, but it's elsewhere, too. But the picture of him making that announcement and the faces of the reporters hearing that news is just a devastating classic, the look on their faces as they receive that news. Well, immediately after Mr. Kilduff made his announcement of the president's death, I stood up beside him and went to the blackboard behind us and sketched out on that blackboard the seating arrangement that Ms. Connolly had given to me. So then immediately after that, I gave them a short report of what she had told me what had happened. And she had talked about how wonderful the trip had been, how they were so overwhelmed by the response for the president all the way through Dallas, and, well, all the response he'd had in Texas since he had landed there the day before and gone to San Antonio and Houston and Fort Worth the night before. It had all been just an outpouring of honor for the president, remarkable and surprising. The national media really couldn't believe it because they came down here expecting lots of demonstrations against President Kennedy. They felt like it was going to be a very difficult trip. Instead, it just turned into an absolute, just an incredible display of honor for him and affection. So the press was stunned by what happened, of course. But Mrs. Connolly had told me, that amid all this wonderful atmosphere we were all experiencing together, that coming down just before the shots, she had just turned to the president and said, "Mr. President, you certainly can't say that Dallas doesn't love you." And we believe that those probably were the last words that the president ever heard.
Oh, it's painful to hear that. It really is, 50 years later.
Well, and those words, of course, are still in etched in everybody's memory, you know, because she was right there. She was next to him, and she was so joyous of how the trip was going. Even today when I describe it to you, it's still my emotions are always just under the surface. Of course, it's been 50 years, so I don't have exactly the same feelings I had then. But with this 50th coming up, when I see a certain photograph or hear a certain video report, it's still very, very sensitive in my mind and heart, and I guess always will be. And, of course, that's why I really wrote the book in. I had never written anything on this book before. For many years, every fall, Governor Connolly would be besieged with interview requests because he was a survivor. And so I set those up every fall. We'd take probably 2 to 3 afternoons to just do nothing but interview requests from media all over the world. And after he passed away in 1983, Mrs. Connolly received the same requests from all around the world. So I always coordinated those requests and helped them on their interviews. But I never wrote my own book. But I thought, you know, with the 50th coming up, I wanted to kind of fill in some of the gaps of history. There are a lot of things that people do not know about the trip. For example, many people don't know all the preparation that Governor Connolly created. He told Nellie Connolly that if President Kennedy were exposed to Texans in the right atmosphere, that they would like him. And so he set about with a plan that had 4 nonpartisan events, not political events. And so he was exposed to people, and people did love him. For example, in Dallas, the lunch that he never got to, the lunch in Dallas was probably 2/3 Republicans, at least, people who never voted for him. But they would have received him as they did in Fort Worth at another nonpartisan breakfast earlier that day, which was largely conservatives, much more conservative than the president. And he charmed all of them. The reaction that he had in Texas was magnificent to that hour. And so he had this strategy that most people don't know about, of course. And a lot of people don't know what are the things that did not happen after the trip. We were to conclude the trip with a big dinner in Austin. $100 plate political dinner. That was a pure political dinner. Well, of course, it never happened. And most people also do not know that the trip was to conclude at the LBJ Ranch west of Austin, because the president was going to be the overnight guest of Vice President Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson. And that would have been a wonderful occasion, because they would have been able to host them on their own home at Texas Ranch. And there was to be a beautiful barbecue under the oak trees beside a scenic river in the hill country of Texas the next morning. And the president, of course, never got to that ranch.
Well, Julian Reed, I'm afraid we've run out of time here today, but I really appreciate your eyewitness account. Again, Julian Reed's a corporate communications and public affairs counselor based in Texas. He served as counselor to John Connally's successful campaign for governor of Texas in 1962, and as Governor Connally's representative to the national media for President Kennedy's visit to Texas in November of 1963. He delivered the first eyewitness account of President John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963, 50 years ago. And his new book is JFK's Final Hours in Texas, An Eyewitness Remembers the Tragedy and Its Aftermath. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcast at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me. Bye for now.